We're starting a brand new study. Everybody should have the handout. It's a green handout. It's called The One Another's Part 1. You remember we just looked at the thing of rewards, and we spent, I think, 6 or 7 or 8 weeks looking at rewards, and it's powerful because the bottom line is, as we use the gifts, talents, and abilities that we have, that God's given us, we serve, we reach out, we touch lives, we do all these things, and then when we stand before our Savior, we want to hear Him say, well done. Well, then what do we do day in and day out when we talk about how we're supposed to touch lives? Well, I think one of the keys is the one another's, and we're going to look at it as we get it. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're beginning this morning this brief study in what we're calling the one another's. And for the next several weeks, it may be 6, 7, 8 weeks, just according to how long it takes us to go through this, and with your input and all the things that we do, we're going to be looking at our responsibility to each other in the Bible. You need a handout? Oh, yeah. We'll make more. Take them all. Okay. The next several weeks, we're going to see our responsibility to each other. Now, it's vital because we need to make an impact, and if we're going to make an impact in this community, it begins as we impact each other. That's really where it starts. You know, Jesus said that they'll know that you belong to me by your what? Your love one for another. So with this whole idea of one another's, we're going to see how it is. There's a number of places in the scripture in which it uses the word or the place one another. There's about 60-something places where it uses that term. But we're just going to look at some key areas dealing with that, impacting this body so that we can impact the community. So I think it's some fun things. We'll see the one another's as we start this week. Let's begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage and what a great time. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. I love the Sunday school class. Thank you for letting me. I just get to teach it. Thank you so much. And thank you for each one that's here. Lord, as we study the one another, as we realize that you have told us to love one another and to build up one another and to pray for one another and to bear one another's burdens and all of those different things, to care for one another and to be devoted to one another. And so, Lord, we just ask you that as we look at these passages and as we go through this study, that we'll be excited about how you want us to touch each other's lives as we are in relationship one to another. So, Lord, just help us. And, Lord, we ask you that as we begin with Ephesians and see these truths, that you'll just teach us, and that as the weeks go by, we'll be excited about how we can relate one to another and how we can love one another. So, Lord, we just ask you that you teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, in sports, there's two different kind of sports or games. There's individual and team. You know, individual is usually one-on-one. Sometimes we think of wrestling because that's one of my favorite sports. And even though it is a team, that when you get out to do it, it's just one-on-one. Like football is different. You know, there's 11 guys at one time playing. Now, track and field, it's a team. But usually if you're running by yourself. Or if you're jumping, you're the one jumping, that kind of thing. Some people like individual sports. Some people like team sports. When you think about the body of Christ, it's really a team. When you think about the church, the body of Christ, we're in this thing together. All of us are the team, and we all work together. And it's really not an individual thing. It's a team working together, and we're seeking to serve Jesus Christ. Each one of us is special and unique, and yet we're all in one body. So as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he says, there's one body with many members. Well, this morning, we're going to begin looking at our responsibility to each other. It's pretty hard because it basically says, what are you supposed to do in your relationship to other people? What do you do? And it tells us, our society, our culture, it really says something like this. I kind of do my own thing. And I don't really want to do anybody else's thing. And we don't want to be responsible. But the truth is, in the body of Christ, we can't exist that way. We need each other. In fact, the whole ministry can't happen correctly unless everybody's serving and everybody's helping one another. So as we think about this, let me remind you of our plan and purpose. Now, our plan and purpose, very simply put, is Matthew 28:18-20, and that's to make disciples. We do that in two aspects, evangelism and training. As we go where people are, we lead them to Christ. We identify them with Jesus Christ. That's salvation. That's evangelism. And then there's the training where we teach them to deserve all which Jesus has commanded them. We teach them the Bible and help them grow. So that's the goal, plan, and purpose, leading people to Christ, training them, equipping them, making disciples. Well, as we think about all that, how does it all fit? How do we fit? Well, a great truth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says that when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're placed in union with Christ into the body of Christ, which is the church. So really, technically, we're all together. And we all have responsibilities. Notice Ephesians 4. This is where I wanted you to start. We see Ephesians 4, verse 11. He said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now, I've got your little handout for you, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. Notice what he says. He says, first of all, that the whole idea of using our gifts is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's verse 12. We equip each other to do ministry. And what we're doing is we're helping each other. And we're going to see that there's an overarching deal here at the very top. In a minute, we're going to show you a little handout or something that's about a little further pages back. And I want to show you something. And the overarching thing is loving each other. And then we serve each other and we build each other up and we equip each other. And we do all these different things as we're together. So it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, building up of the body of Christ. Notice verse 13. Do I have these up here? I do, don't I? Yeah. Verse 13. Until we obtain to the unity of faith, the fullness of Christ. It goes on to say, till unity, knowledge, and maturity. I don't know if that's on this one of the slides or not. I can't remember if we put that up there. Is it next or is it on there? It's not on there. Yeah, there it is. Unity, knowledge, and maturity. So the key is growth. Notice what he says. We're going to equip the believers to do ministry, build up the body of Christ, till we all obtain to unity, to knowledge, and maturity. That's the key. Now, nobody is going to come to unity, knowledge, and maturity by themselves. You understand that it takes the body of Christ and fellow believers to help each of us grow, to help each of us mature. There are some believers that sort of think, I do my own thing. I can study the Bible on my own. I don't really need a church. In fact, there's a lot of trends now that people are doing church by the website, that they're just going to go to a website. They hear a message over there. They hear music, and that's their church service. They'd say, I don't have to go and be with other people. I don't even have to get out of my house. Well, the bottom line is you can't live the Christian life by yourself, and you can't grow as a believer by yourself. It just doesn't work that way. He said, I'm placing you in union with Christ, and I want you to gather together with fellow believers, and I want you to use your gifts, talents, and abilities to equip one another. We come to unity and knowledge and maturity. Notice verse 14, which I think is next on this, that there are no longer children. No longer babies is what he says in verse 14. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful speaking. The bottom line is that you do not want to be tossed back and forth. A baby is one that doesn't know really what they believe. I think the most amazing thing is to see people who have been Christians for a long time but don't know anything about what they believe. It's just amazing. And they are tossed back and forth. Paul says, here's our plan. We come together, we use our gifts, we equip each other so we can have unity, knowledge, and maturity. And that way we're no longer babies going back and forth. But, as the next verse says, based on the truths from God's word, we're to grow up. Notice what he says. But speaking the truth in love, where's the truth? What is the truth? John 17:17, thy word is truth. That's why when people go to churches and the Bible is not taught, they're not getting the truth. People talk about the Bible. That's different. It is different to say we talk about the Bible. That is different than saying we teach the Bible. They are two different things. You can talk about the Bible all the time, and people over a period of time do not grow because they're not taught the Scripture. They're taught about the Scripture. You must be taught the word. That's why he says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects into him who's the head, even Christ. And then finally, verse 16 puts it really together. It says, the whole body, every part, each individual part, building up itself in love. Notice verse 16, for the whole body being fitted and held together by every joint that supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. Each one of you, individually, using your gifts, talents, and abilities, working with other believers, equipping one another, all coming together, and so that the body is built up. And so, in summary, as we has there, that the whole body, every part, go back to the next slide, I think. The whole body, every joint, every part, each individual part, causes the growth as we build each other up. Now, the reason I started with this is because sometimes when we start talking about the one another's and what we're to do with each other, some people say, well, I don't really, I don't, really need. I don't really need that. I don't really need that fellowship. I don't really need these other people to help me. I don't really need that. I can do my own thing. It's just me and God. Well, God never meant it to be just you and God. You've got to have a personal, individual relationship with Jesus Christ and your relationship with God, but He has put you in a community of believers in the body of Christ, those meeting together with different gifts, talents, and abilities so that together we can help one another. That's the key. And so when we talk about standing before Jesus Christ and hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, it's not because you were by yourself serving God. It was because you, in conjunction with fellow believers, you did all these one another's. And you built each other up and help each other grow. It's pretty powerful stuff. And we're going to see that each one of us is going to impact other lives over and over. The term one another is used. Ephesians 4:25, I think, is the next verse that's up there. And what does he say? We are members of, notice, of one another. Ephesians 4:25, you're in chapter 4, you can look over there. It says, therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Why should we do all that? For we are members of one another. We're members of one another. And this is the key. We think about impacting other people. We realize we belong together. I think it's contrary to our culture. It's contrary almost to be an American. Because we say, you know, army of one. We do our thing. We don't need anybody. The truth is, we need everybody. Every one of us in this room needs each other. Just wait till something happens. So what if something happens in your life? You don't want to be by yourself. I mean, one of the greatest things that happens when something goes wrong, all you look up and there are your friends, your people, your fellow believers. They're coming to be with you. You've got to have one another. You've got to. And so this study is going to be dealing with the one another's and how all this fits. In fact, at the bottom of the page, you should put, we are members of one another. You may have already done that. I was just talking fast and wasn't looking to tell you anything. Okay, so we are members of one another. Now, there's something you have to remember. It's two key aspects. I think it's at the top of the next page. Whenever you think about what are we supposed to do, we got the gifts, we got the talents, we got the abilities. There are two key things. Number one, no individual can serve effectively by himself. You cannot do it. If you said, well, JB, you get up on a Sunday morning and you get to teach the Bible, you're doing that by yourself. No, I'm not. All of the preparation, all of the people that did so many things just so that we could even have a service. And just all of the aspects of even my study and the books, the tools. How do I look up something? That's because somebody else has done some work. I mean, there's no such thing as you just by yourself. And so nobody can serve effectively by himself. Nobody can. Think of an orchestra with just one instrument. This should be great. Play this tune. I'm just the cello thing. You know? What about the rest of the instruments? Oh, you don't need those. Yes, you do. No one can serve effectively by themselves. Number two, every believer is important and vital for the body to function. Now, you've heard me say that many times, and we're going to really, on Sunday nights in 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 10, we're going to be chapter 11 next week, and it won't be long from there that we'll be chapters 12, 13, and 14, which deal with spiritual gifts. That's the hardest part of the book. The hardest part. So if you want to come to the hard part, you want to watch me go, this is real hard. And see, I mean, it's tough. It deals with spiritual gifts. It talks about using our gifts. It talks about the fact that every one of us is vital and important for the body to function. Now, people all read that and they give lip service to that. Most people do not believe that. There are many people in this church who do not believe they are vital and important for the ministry to function. They don't think it. They don't think it matters. That's why it doesn't matter where they come. They think it doesn't matter whether I come. It doesn't matter whether I'm there. It doesn't matter whether I'm on a ministry team. It doesn't matter because I'm not important. It doesn't matter. They have to realize that every believer is important and vital for the body to function. If we're going to do the ministries that God has for us to do, if the body of Christ is going to function effectively in this community, every one of you must use the gifts, talents, and abilities God has given you. And if you say it doesn't matter, you're misunderstanding how vital and important you are and how God has gifted you and placed you in a local body and how you are to serve. And so nobody can serve effectively individual by themselves, but every person, every believer is important and vital for this to function. Has to. In fact, 1 Corinthians, in fact, go over there for just a second. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but what? Many. I mean, that's it. I love this next part. Look at verse 15. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? Listen, a lot of people want to be the hand. Some people who are feet want to be the hand. Some people who are feet want to be the feet. Some people who are fingers want to be the fingers. Some people who are eyes. There's eyes and noses. And Paul says, listen, if everybody was an eye, where could you hear? If everybody was a ear, where could you do something else? Bottom line, every member is important. So he says, what if the foot said, because I'm not out front, I'm down in here, stuck in this stuff, and I'm just doing my thing, and the hand gets to wave and everything. Hey, foot doesn't get to wave. The foot says, okay, I'm not in a good position in the body, so I'm not a part of the body. When a believer is using their gifts, it doesn't matter what those gifts are, they are fulfilled and excited. Whatever your spiritual gifts are, when you're exercising those gifts, you say, boy, I bet everybody wishes they had this gift. Boy, I get to be the one to do this. You know, when I get to teach the Sunday school, what do I say? I say, thank you, Lord. You let me. I get to teach. I get to teach. I love it. If you've got the gift of helps, you love it when you're doing it. When people aren't fulfilled, it's because they're not using their gifts. And that's why he says, listen, we're all in this thing together. So if a foot says, I'm not part of the body, no, you are part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is there any reason he's less a part of the body? If the whole body with this eye, where could you hear? If the whole were hearing, how could you smell? He's saying everybody is important. Verse 18, God has placed the members, notice, each one of them in the body just as he desired. Now there's some misunderstanding on teaching today on spiritual gifts, and we're going to get to it on Sunday nights. But there are people who think you decide what gift you want and you ask and go get it or you claim it or something. Listen, you don't decide what gifts you get. The Holy Spirit gives them. In fact, it says right there in verse 18, now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts to each one. So whatever gifts you have, that's given to you from God. And the best thing to do is say, hallelujah, let me use it. And so bottom line, as we get started on this, is that we've got gifts, talents, and abilities, each one of us. Romans 12:5, I love this. Listen to this verse. You don't have to turn there. He says, so we who are many are one body. We're one body. Many, one body. And individually we are members. Now listen to what he says. Of one another. He keeps saying the same thing over and over. We are of one another. You're in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 25. That's on your handout there. Look at verse 25. So there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for what? For one another. So as we get started in this study of the one another's, I just want you to see over and over again that we all got different gifts, talent, ability, but we're in the same body, and we all are to care for one another. We're all to build one another up. We're all to do all these things, one another's. You cannot serve effectively, be effective by yourself. And everyone is vital and important. There are upfront gifts. There are gifts that are easily seen. Teaching, evangelism, some of those, sometimes even administration. Some of those gifts, leadership, some of those are clearly seen. They're upfront gifts. Some people have the misconception that the upfront gifts are more important or better than the behind-the-scenes gifts. They are not. They are all important. They're all equal and all must be used for the body to function. Now, with that in mind, we're going to see the overarching gift. The overarching one another is what I mean there. Out of all these one another's that are throughout the scripture, there's one that just seems to stand out. I call it the overarching one another. And go ahead and turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we'll see it as we go through where Jesus, they come up to Jesus and ask him some questions. And I want you to see it, but it's the key one. And if you want to fill in your blank, it is love one another. And let me tell you this. If you love one another, you will be, if you're loving one another, you will do all of the other one another's. That's why it's the overarching one. If you're loving one another, you'll be building up one another. If you're loving one another, you'll be bearing one another's burdens. If you're loving one another, you'll be praying for one another. If you're loving one another, you'll be equipping one another. You'll be caring for one another. You'll be devoted to one another. That's all if you're loving. That's why it stands out. Look at Matthew 22. We'll start at verse 35 through 40. In fact, I think go to the top of the next page where this lawyer comes up to test Jesus. Look what happens. I love the flow. Look at the verse above it, right before it. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. Now, Pharisees and Sadducees did not like each other. Pharisees were more of the legalistic ones. The Sadducees were more of the liberal ones. The Sadducees had come up to test Jesus, and he just blew them away, made them upset, so they left. Pharisees saw that they had silenced the Sadducees. They got together, and one of them, a lawyer, this is the person who was an expert in the law. He knew the stuff. He came to Jesus, asked him a question. Now notice, ask him, testing him. Now, he wasn't coming to Jesus to say, I've really been looking all over and I don't know the answer. Could you help me on this? That's not what he's doing. He's coming up to test Jesus. What he's hoping is that Jesus will make a mistake. He's going to try to trick Jesus because that's his plan. These Pharisees and these Sadducees and these Herodians and these zealots, and all, some of them aren't liking, most of them aren't liking Jesus and they don't want him. And so if they could figure out a way to discredit his ministry, it'd be great. So he's coming up testing him, and so here's what he says. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? The great commandment. Now, I've got in your handout there, in the Old Testament there were 613 commandments. Okay? So what they think is they've got Jesus here. Because see, if Jesus names any one of the commandments, he will say, oh, so you only name one. Well, what about this one? And what about this one? They thought if we could just get him to name one of the commandments, which was the greatest, then we could say, well, he's leaving out these others. We got to figure out a way to make him look bad. So how does Jesus answer? Most of you have studied this before. This is not anything new. He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Well, we'd say, oh, well, wow. But he doesn't stop. See, Jesus didn't stop and go, thank you very much. He said, the second is like it. There's another one. You can see the Pharisee going, I just asked you for one. No, I'm giving you two. The second one is like it, literally equal to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verses 37 through 39 say, you love God and love others. That's the two answers there in your little handout. 37 through 39, love God and love others. Now notice verse 40. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. He's saying everything goes back to these two. Do you realize that when people would talk about the Ten Commandments, which is the most important, or all these 613 commandments, Jesus said, if you want to summarize it all, you can take all of the commandments and put them under two things, loving God and loving others. It's really love. The overarching thing is love. Now, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor, what? As yourself. Now, that's what Jesus taught. That's what the Old Testament taught. And so we'd say, well, that's pretty hard, first of all, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your, and to love your neighbor as yourself, because how do you feel about yourself? I like me a real lot, right? I mean, yeah, I do, you know. So don't you love yourself? You sure you do. People who are really mixed up don't love themselves. It's assumed that people love themselves. God created you. He let you be on this earth. I mean, you don't go hurt yourself on purpose. Some people do, but that, you know, that's not the plan. So you'd say, okay, love the Lord to God with all heart and soul, and love my neighbor as myself. That means I've got to treat my neighbor in the same way that I would treat myself. But that's not where it ends. Because if you notice, I've got the new commandment. Because Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. In verse 30, John 13, 34 and 35, listen to this just because of time. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. We'd stop. Wait a minute. No. That's not a new commandment. That's not a new commandment, right? Didn't the Old Testament say, love your neighbor? He says, you should love one another. We say, love one another as what? As? Well, no, what had he been telling them? Love one another as you love yourself. But that's not what he says here. He says, you love one another as I have loved you. He just made it up a notch. See, Old Testament, you love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, no. A new commandment I give you. You love others as I have loved you, which is way up there. The first of the overarching, or the overarching of all these one another's, is to love one another. To love one another. When you turn the page, I want you to turn one more page after that for just a second. And here's the handout that I have for you that is the one another's. Can you see it there? And we're going to run out of time, so I want you to see something this morning. See where it says the one another's, and then I've got overarching. And the overarching one is to love one another. 1 John 4:11. Now in our study, we're going to see 7 positive one another's and 10 negative, excuse me, and 3 negative one another's. It gives us 10 total. If you are loving one another, you will serve one another. You will care for one another. You'll be kind to one another. You'll regard one another. You'll be devoted to one another. You'll even bear one another's burdens. You'll accept one another. And then you'll build up one another and encourage one another. And then you'll admonish one another, and you'll forgive one another, and you'll pray for one another, and you'll submit to one another. And as you continue to love one another, you will also not judge one another. You will have no conflicts one with another, and you won't even have lawsuits with one another. That's the 10 one another's we're going to see. How they fit together. Some of them have more under them than others, but I just wanted you to see that. Go back to the page before that where it says 1 John 4. In the time that we have, just flip over there very quickly. We'll probably start back here next time. I just want you to see something. It's a very, very famous passage. And we'll just end with verse 7 today. The verse bell has already rung, has it not? Okay. 1 John 4, 7. Look what it says. Beloved. Now, who's writing the book? Who's writing this book? 1 John. Let's take a guess. John. Yeah, we got it. Okay. And he's writing to believers. What does he call them in this verse? Beloved. See, that's the word, isn't it? Loved one. Beloved, loved one. Let us do what? Let us love one another. See, love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. See, the Bible says that God is what? God's love. So we're going to see that. Verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. By what? Well, that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we would live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, because we didn't. Because we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. But he loved us. Sent his son to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment. Look at the thing, and we'll get details on this next week. I'm just going fast. Beloved, loved one, if God so loved us, what should we do? We also ought to love one another. Now, People, and I know that was the bell. When we say the word love, men sometimes go, okay, yeah, you're all juicy and, you know, love. And sometimes men want to go, I'm a man, you know, and we don't really go around saying I love you. And I know people who said, my father never told me one time that he loved me. I've talked to men. Their father never once told them they loved him. Well, men, tell people you love them if you love them. Love is not, love has emotion with it, but love is not an emotion. Love is an action. Because when you love, you will be building up one another, you'll be caring for one another, you'll be protecting one another, you'll be doing all of these one another's. That's what love is. It's not an emotional thing. It has emotions with it. But love is your action. That's why it says, God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. So, I know that was the second bell. We'll come back to 1 John 4. The very first thing I want you to see this morning is that we're all in this thing together. We all have gifts, talents, and abilities. We are members of one another. And the overarching one another that we begin with is to love each other. When we do that, all the rest of these will fit into place and we'll see how they fit. Heavenly Father, what a great study. And thank you, Lord. We just want to love one another, Lord. We know that that's the thing. By this, you manifested your love to us, that you sent Jesus into this world. And then this is love. Not that we loved you, but you loved us and sent your Son. And so with that whole idea, if you so loved us, we ought to love one another. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we think about loving each other, that we will care for one another, we'll serve one another, we'll build each other up. We'll admonish one another. We'll bear one another's burdens. We'll be kind to one another. We'll accept one another. We'll be devoted to one another. We'll pray for one another. We'll be submitting to one another. We won't judge one another. We won't have conflicts with one another. We won't have these lawsuits with one another. But we will love others just as you loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.